The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
As we started to motor up, I'm trying to make sense of what I'm seeing in the water. And then it moved, and it was a man in the water. And instantly, the Holy Spirit clarified that this is a capsized boat, and there's a man in the water. And I could see these big loops of yellow nylon rope, and they were in the water, and they were around this man.
Best-selling author Kim Meador shares inspiring true stories that ignite revival. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila's with me as always.
Hey.
And I know we're both excited because, you know, we always talk about in the church how we want revival. And we need revival in our country and in our cities. And how does that start? What does that look like, really? Well, I'm excited because today we're going to be talking to the author of a book called Revival Rising. And she's not just any author. This is our friend. This is Kim Meador. Maybe you remember Kim. She's been on the show before. Troy, her husband's been on the show. And I, you know, of all, we have so many wonderful people, so it's hard to say this, but I just love Kim and Troy. And so I'm thrilled to have her back. Kim, welcome back to Life Today.
Thank you so much. This is like homecoming week. Thank you.
Go ahead, Sheila, because
I'm
I know
kind of the new
like
kid
this.
On the yeah. block. You know, I'm just getting to meet you and love you already before we even started. Mm-hmm. But when I heard part of your earlier story of, I cannot even imagine what that day was like. Mm. Would you mind taking us back to that day, Kim, when your life changed forever?
Revival begins the same in every life. And that's when we turn and face and acknowledge the one who gives life, the one and only Redeemer. And that day happened in this girl's life when I was 9 years of age. And at 9 years of age, I used to think my mother was the most beautiful woman from the inside out, and I wanted to be like her. And my dad was this wild child of the wilderness, and he wore a cape and flew. There was nothing that my dad couldn't do. And I grew up in the combined castle of their love for me. And it was during that time that my dad's best friend came to my little grade school and picked me up and my two older sisters, and started to drive a very familiar road to my grandparents' house in utter silence. And even then, I just had this choking feeling that something terrible has happened and no one will speak. No one will tell me what it is. And arriving at my grandparents' house, and there were cars parked all over, and for the first time in my young life, not wanting to go in to a home where I only ever felt loved because I was afraid. And just being pushed in by my shoulders into the home, and it was full of all these grieving, wailing people. And I was pushed into the arms of a woman that I recognized, but I didn't know her name. And she was crying so hard, she sounded like she was choking. And she just kept going around and around in this nauseating cycle of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to say, I'm sorry, I don't know how to tell you this. Your dad has just murdered your mother and taking his own life, and I'm so sorry. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, my dad loves my mom and he loves me and he would never do that, you're a liar! And just broke out of her arms and ran out the back door in this child's effort to outrun the unthinkable, and just ran and ran and ran a short distance that felt like miles, and fell down in the dirt. And it was dirt that had been plowed in an orchard, and I'm inhaling dirt and gagging and choking and screaming and retching, and I could hear what I thought was an animal sound. I didn't even recognize the sound of my own voice, and I could hear coming from my lips, Jesus, help me. I need you now. Jesus, will you help me? And I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know who Jesus was. All I knew about Jesus is I think he's the guy on the cross. I didn't know the power of Romans chapter 1 that says everyone will know him. Everyone has that ability to know him. All I knew is that He's where I needed to turn. I didn't know the power of Romans 10:13 that declares everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter who you are, how you were raised, what culture you were brought up in, or what religion you were taught to believe. When our heart is being destroyed by pain, we know intuitively to turn to the one who made this heart, because we know inside that he's the only one who can heal and redeem it. And that's the moment that I met Jesus Christ face to face. And I didn't know anything other than there was a pop in my heart, a little fire of hope, and knowing that you are no longer alone. You're going to get through this, and everything's going to be okay. Just keep speaking his name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus.
When you look back on that today, What do you see, both in the situation with the loss of your parents, as well as your own life? What's your perspective on it now?
I couldn't have known then, and when we are going through our valley of the shadow of darkness, no one can tell you that, don't you know, God has a purpose and a plan for your pain. Mm-hmm. Our pain has a purpose, and we can't believe it. We can't accept that. It just makes us mad, mm-hmm. and that you don't know my pain. Well, guess what? He does. Mm. He does, and it is the Lord, the author and the creator of love and hope and joy and peace himself, who comes in and says, I will heal all of it. All of it. There is no pain that can happen in the human heart that the love and the hope of Jesus Christ cannot heal. But one, there is one. And that is the pain that we will not release to him. Mm. And that's just pain that kills. Mm. Everything else, he's the only one, as we give him our pain and our suffering and our hurt and our unforgiveness and our grief and our shame and our brokenness, he's the only one who does that Genesis 50:20, that what was meant to destroy you by, I'm going to transform and have that be the very thing that gives you life. And not only you, but everyone you share it with. That's pain worth having. Mm. It's like God's comfort is like Midas gold times a zillion, that it not only heals us and covers us, it heals everyone we share it with. That's pain worth having. Mm-hmm. I didn't know then that he was forging something coming in the future. All three of my sisters and I moved in with my grandparents. My grandmother had the wisdom to buy a little horse for this wild child. And it was on the back of that horse that I would just gallop and gallop and gallop, and imagining that my pain couldn't keep up. It wasn't fast enough, and finally slow down to a walk, and tears are streaming. And that's when I could receive the truth of his word. I wasn't saved by a horse. I was saved by Jesus Christ on the back of a horse. And that that was moving forward in my life like a figurehead on a ship. He was forging something in this life that only he can, for everything that was coming. And met and married my husband. We moved to the eastern slope of the Cascade Mountain Range, bought the only piece of property we could afford, an abandoned cinder mine, literally a hole in the ground with a beautiful mountain range view. And we started to redeem this property, and that broken property with this broken life filled with all the broken trees. And then the broken horses came, and God fit them all together to become the perfect place to heal the hearts of broken children. And they all started coming. And the Lord allowed me to watch a mute girl speak freely to a starving horse. And through driving snow, as I'm watching this girl break through in the presence of the love of God, I could hear Jesus saying, now do you understand why I allowed you to walk through that valley of the shadow of darkness? I'm asking you to help others find their way through, mm-hmm. in a similar way that you did. Your pain always had a purpose for such a time as this. All of our pain does, as we give it to him.
There's so many stories that you tell in this book, Kim. And the thing that became clear to me when I finished reading the whole thing was that whatever's going on in your life, mm-hmm. you're watching and you're paying attention and you're asking the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. to unpack it for you. You tell a very painful, a powerful story about two lost dogs and wolves, And what the Holy Spirit spoke to you about that?
I'm a woman of the wilderness, and I love being outdoors. And the deeper, the higher up, the more wild, the better. And that's where all the beeping, buzzing noise of this realm stops, and there's just the worship of creation. And that's where I hear his voice the most clearly. And it was during one of these times of being way, way, way out in the wilderness that a dear friend and I stumbled upon what the Lord revealed to be a wolf kill. We had stumbled into a kill zone where wolves were killing elk. And in a quarter of a mile, we came across six massacres.
Wow.
And that same, actually it was the following day on our way out of the wilderness, that we found two dogs that were lost. And as we were able to coax strange dogs into our truck, and they just collapsed in my lap in exhaustion, I literally had to pick up an old dog. He received the rescue we were giving, but he was too weak to jump in. Mm. And I had to literally pick up a dog that could bite me in the face. Mm. And this is what Jesus is calling you and I, that Jesus, I need rescue, and I'm too weak to jump into your presence. Will you help me into your rescue? And he did. And the second dog was afraid and was circling the truck. And I couldn't chase her. All I did was sit on the pavement. And she finally came. God is not going to chase us. He's not going to follow our back. He's calling us to turn and face. Mm. That if we will repent, that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is true. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your junk, then I'm going to hear you, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to heal your land, beginning with the land right here in your heart. Mm. And brought them in. And what we knew is that had these dogs stayed in that wilderness, they would have been annihilated by the wolves. Mm-hmm. And how much God the Father is calling us when we are lost for such a time as this in a wilderness, in our own personal wilderness that is, can be grief, it can be fear, it can be loneliness, it can be bitterness and unforgiveness, pride, complacency, self-justification, whatever our brand of sin is, whatever our wilderness is. And it is Jesus' love that is saying, if you will turn to me and come to the rescue that I offer you, I will lift you into the presence of my Father. And this is where the healing and the redemption is. I'm asking you to choose me. Just choose me and I'll do the rest. But I need you to choose me first. Mm-hmm. And lift you into my dad's rescue.
Yeah. You know, I opened the program by talking about how we all want revival in our nation or our communities. And really the message of your book and the message of the Bible is revival starts in us.
Yes.
And that's why I love the illustrations you give, because you put pictures on it to show us, you know, how that looks in our lives. Mm. But here's my question. Because you've done this through the Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch for all these years, through your speaking and your books. How does that fire, that transforming fire, once it consumes us, how does it get to those around us to change them?
What a great question. In every way possible, when we stop focusing on everything that hurts and start focusing on the one who heals, and we start to allow him to flood us with everything that he is, his love, his joy, his peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that we're so flooded with who he is that we just slosh that out everywhere we go. When we know who he is in us and who we are in him, he is what is released everywhere. Mm-hmm. That revival doesn't happen somewhere near you. It happens in you. And the mission field is not where you go. It's where you are. It's the ground between your heels with every human encounter. Recently, my husband, the sidebar is, not only is he the CEO and co-founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, he's also a licensed boat captain and fishing guide. And recently, we don't do this as a business. We do it as a ministry and don't charge anything. It's just fellowship and making really amazing memories. And it was the end of the season. We were just the two of us on the boat. And it was a big day, big swell, big wind, big waves, dangerous. No bar on the Oregon coast was safe to pass. They would annihilate anyone who tried. literally. And so we were fishing upriver, and it was about a little after 4, and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and I could hear him saying, go now, right now, go now. You must go back to the marina now. And I told my husband, we reeled the gear up, put the main down, and we're streaming down the river. We came around the bend in about a mile-long area of just wind-driven waves, and it's rough. Water's 49 degrees cold. It was a cold day, and I could see objects in the water and colors, and what is that? What is that? And I pointed to, and my husband saw it too. I don't know. As we started to motor up, I'm trying to make sense of what I'm seeing in the water. And then it moved, and it was a man in the water. And instantly, the Holy Spirit clarified that this is a capsized boat, and there's a man in the water. And I could see these big loops of yellow nylon rope, and they were in the water, and they were around this man. And the boat just went under. He has seconds before he's going to be pulled under in front of our eyes. And I felt like I was being electrocuted, and it was like, get the ropes off of him now. And I just started to yell, I've got you, you're going to be okay, you're going to be okay. And as I was able to reach him with a salmon net, and I'm drawing him through the wreckage, and the ropes are peeling off, and as I'm just shouting and praying that you're going to be okay, and his head just rocked back, and he was almost unconscious, and he said, but he's not. What? And as I'm guiding him through the wreckage, I look straight down, and I'm pulling him right into a second man who had already died. Mm. And through a series of miraculous events that were both beautiful and horrible, we were able to get these two men back to the marina. And in the aftermath of the following day, we got a phone call. It was a strange number. Troy put it on speaker, and we could hear this trembling voice of this man saying, you don't know me, but I'm the man that you pulled out of the river, and I'm alive today because you stopped. You saved my life, and I don't even know your name. Can we just meet so I can thank you? And as we met him in minutes in one of the most profound embraces of my life, we learned that the water was 49 degrees. A healthy man dies in under 60 minutes. These men were 72. And they had been in the water almost 2 hours. And the whole point of sharing this encounter is that not one, not two, but 3 boats went by them. 3. Mm. And because they didn't stop, a man watched his best friend die. And there was nothing he could do to stop it. And the point of sharing this encounter is that you and I are strategically placed in time and in history for such a time as this. And that if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the revival that he is calling in you also pours from you in every environment that you exist in, to answer your question. And for you and I to choose to become that life ring of hope that draws those. There are men and women and children in the water all around us every day that are dying without hope.
So true.
And that we carry the hope of heaven. And God is calling those who love him more than themselves to become that human life ring and draw those who are suffering in our midst into the redeeming power of the Father's love. Love is the foundation of every revival. God's love in us being poured out through us. Mm-hmm. And will we love those in our midst more than our own comfort? We were not created to pursue comfort. We were created to bring the comfort of heaven to those in our lives.
Amen.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, trust me, is only a portion.
Yes.
Of the wisdom and the wealth in this book, Revival Rising. I'm going to tell you how you can get your very own copy. But first of all, there are people across the world.
Yes.
Who are dying simply because they have no access to clean water. We can be the ones to reach out and grab hold of them and tell them you're going to be okay. Mm. Would you watch this? It's been absolutely devastating.
to see how hard these people work to get water, and it's not a clean source of water. To have talked to so many mothers who've had to bury their children. It's something that should never happen.
I'm so sorry.
This is water that will kill you. This is death water.
Hi, that bong slap badai. Nang bong ke mun. Hi, ka nang pok yuan tong na ta luok. Pok leak chu tok san. Hi, ka nang khoen ke tau prean tiet mai phya tau chu bot tau tiet.
My nhóm đu tật tăng nhóm ơi nhóm phát nhóm ắt phát nhóm tật đu tật liền ắt miền ấy nhám nhóm phát tật tăng.
This is not water that you can live from. We have to do as much as we can. Help us take the gospel. Help us demonstrate the gospel as we bring them water for life. I know it's as hard for you as it is for us to watch those children in pain. And frankly, I couldn't go to places like that if I didn't have the hope and the knowledge that when we come back here and we tell you these stories and we show you those pictures, that you will join us in giving clean water to those precious people. And Sheila, I know you've been there. You've seen the pain firsthand. How critical is it that we step up and we make 2021 a big year for clean water in this world?
It's so, so important, Randy. I mean, when you talk to some of these moms, and it's like I look into their eyes and I see myself. You know, moms want one thing. They want to be able to take care of their children. They want to make sure that their children have clothes on their back, that they have a meal in their tummy. But the thought that you cannot even give your child a glass of clean water, of something that won't potentially kill them, is devastating. It's hard to imagine unless you've been there. But when we get there, we drive for hours in these vans to get to these villages where these families desperately need our help. And every time we leave, you know, we pray a blessing over the women. We pray over them. We pray a blessing over the village, but we tell them this: we're coming home. And we're going to tell our people exactly what's going on, and we will not forget you. So I'm asking, will you join with us and help bring such a simple thing, a gift of clean water, to all those places where they so desperately need it right now, Randy?
Yeah, and it's really not that difficult because we've been doing this for many years. We've got the people in place. We've got the crews on the ground ready to go and drill these wells. What does it take? Well, on average, it takes $4,800 to drill a well. That's an average based on the many countries where we do this. That means that your gift of $4,800 today will enable us to put a well in. That one well will typically provide clean water for 1,000 people for their entire lives. That's how radically you can change people's lives. You will save lives when you are a part of Water for Life. Maybe you want to join with some other people. A gift of $144 will provide an average of 30 people water for a lifetime. Maybe a $48 gift to provide 10 people water for a lifetime. You start to see how this adds up when we come together, when we all do something. And that's what I'm asking you to do right now. Do what you can. Make the best gift you can. Go online, go to the phones. You can save lives when you join us in Water for Life. Do it right now.
Dirty, disease-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, This is their only choice. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Speak Your Name, devotions and declarations on the reality of Jesus. Filled with stunning imagery, these 40 encouraging devotions by Lainey Renee serve as a reminder of the power of Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Be Refreshed pitcher. This beautiful ceramic pitcher is decorated with Proverbs 11:25 and is sure to make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I travel all over the world as the Director of Missions for Life Today. I continue to hear some of the same stories. Death. Why? Simply because they don't have clean drinking water. These mothers who wanted to give life to her children. She wanted to bring health to her family by bringing water home. But she ends up bringing contaminated water, if she can find any. I'm in one of the driest regions of the world right now, and the water they do find, it's so filthy, it brings sickness and death. So please help us bring clean water. Let's drill some wells that'll give these villages and these people water for the rest of their lives. Clean, life-giving water. Please help us today.
Change starts with us, you and me. I hope you'll go to the phone or go online and give the best gift you can. When you do today, request Revival Rising. You know, Sheila, I think this will bless people.
Well, I read the book, and it has been challenging, encouraging. It made me want to jump out and up and shout hallelujah. So, Kim, thank you so much for being our guest on Life.
Thank you
for sharing your life with us.
What an honor and a privilege, always. Thank you.
And it's an honor and privilege for you to be here with us on Life Today. We ask you to come back and join us again next time. Bye-bye.
Jess Ford shares his journey after learning that he was almost aborted.
The only thing that I ever thought about was that I wasn't supposed to be here.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.